Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the most important week of your life. We are entering into Holy Week. As you see, it is Palm Sunday. We rejoice now in our King who rides triumphantly into Jerusalem. Thank you again for tuning in to these worship broadcasts. We are thankful that you're able to gather with us around the Word of our God. Again, you will see the service folder posted beside this video. We encourage you to open it up, follow along, as you also are able to follow along with the video itself. We'll use the common service, and we will start with our opening hymn, the first four verses of hymn 134. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart, and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. We praise you, O God, for the great acts of love by which you redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ. As he was acclaimed by those who scattered their garments and branches of palm in his path, so may we always hail him as our King and follow him with perfect confidence, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. We turn our attention to the Word of our God for this Palm Sunday, the sixth Sunday in Lent, rejoicing, of course, in that King. All the lessons describe this amazing King, our Lord and our Savior. Our first lesson is from Zechariah chapter 9, the prophecy of Palm Sunday, verses 9 and 10. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. Look, your King is coming to you. He is righteous and brings salvation. He is humble and is riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow will be taken away, and he will proclaim peace to the nations. His kingdom will extend from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. This is the word of our God. Our second lesson is recorded for us in Philippians chapter 2. We read verses 5 through 11. Indeed, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Though he was by nature God, he did not consider equality with God as a prize to be displayed, but he emptied himself by taking the nature of a servant. When he was born in human likeness, and his appearance was like that of any other man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of our Lord. Our verse of the day: the time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. The Holy Gospel for this Palm Sunday is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 21. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, telling them, "Go to the village ahead of you. Immediately you will find a donkey there tied along with her colt. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you are to say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king comes to you, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did just as Jesus commanded them. Then they brought the donkey and the colt, laid their outer clothing on them, and he sat on it. A very large crowd spread their outer clothing on the road. Others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them out on the road. The crowds who went in front of him and those who followed kept shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, asking, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the gospel of our Lord. We join to confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. My dear fellow redeemed, so are you hanging in there? This is now the third Sunday that we have been worshiping like this, and I suppose maybe in some ways you're getting used to it. And maybe that's all right, because it sounds like this probably is going to still be the normal, at least through April. But even if we are kind of getting used to this, there is still a little bit of uneasiness, because after all, you and I understand that we're not really created to be isolated like this. We understand why, but God made us to want to be together. To gather together as families, to gather as communities, to gather around His Word and to rejoice in His grace and His love. And so in some ways, as we get further into this, perhaps this is getting even harder and harder as we are isolated for this time. To the point where perhaps you're beginning to hear and say things you never thought you would say. Things like, "I wish I could go to school," or "I miss going to work." Not only do we long for those days when perhaps we can go a little more freely than we can, we probably also look forward to those times when somebody can come. Maybe at this point we don't even know if our doorbell still works. Even as we wait for that time when we can go and perhaps somebody can come, you and I rejoice today that somebody is coming. It's Palm Sunday. We rejoice that your King comes to you. In fact, not only is he coming, he has already come. So we rejoice today in the first lesson that we have before us from Zechariah chapter 9, that amazing prophecy of Palm Sunday. And rejoice in that word that has been guiding us ever since the last Sunday in February. Undefeated. Undefeated because your King comes to you. He is a king unlike any other king. And he has a kingdom unlike any other kingdom. So we turn our attention to Zechariah chapter 9. Verse 9 says to us, "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and brings salvation. He is humble and is riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." He comes. He is a king unlike any other, and yet he comes. I suppose there are other kings that have come. But usually if there's a king that's coming, perhaps that's not the greatest thing in our life, because that means it's probably a conqueror. He is coming with his army and he's coming with his might and his power. And like it or not, you now have a king. He comes from someplace else and he comes and he takes over, and now he is your king. Other kings don't have to come. They are already there. Other kings are perhaps part of a royal family, or perhaps part of a prominent family that is rising to power and is gaining that power. And so the king is already there. He just ascends to the throne and takes over rule, and now that king of that nation is part of that nation. Didn't really have to come. But your king comes to you. That's why you are undefeated. And when your king comes, Jesus is not coming with battle gear. He is not coming with might and power. We're told that he comes because he is righteous, perfect. He knows exactly what you need, and he knows exactly what he needs to do. And unlike any other king, unlike anybody for that matter, he is absolutely perfect as he carries out his rule as king. He doesn't come with war. He doesn't come with battle. He comes with salvation. He doesn't come to conquer. He doesn't come to defeat and destroy. He comes to save. He's not looking for nations to put under his thumb and subdue. He's coming and he's looking for souls to rescue and souls to save. And so your king comes, a king unlike any other king. And look at how he comes. He comes in absolute humility, humble, riding on a donkey. He doesn't come surrounded by his army. He doesn't come with crowds of people supporting him. Yes, there are crowds of people that are there, but they are rather common-looking people. They're not armed. They're not polished-up soldiers. They're not leading prisoners of war. They're just people following and praising another man who looks fairly common, fairly ordinary, as Jesus comes riding in on a donkey, on a colt, a donkey that can't be too far away from its mother yet, comes riding in to Jerusalem. He comes. He comes as a king unlike any other king. Martin Luther had this to say, "Just as he is very different from all the kings of the world, so also his area of responsibility and his royal apparatus are clearly different from those which fit the king of this world. Here there is no violence, no armor, no power, no anger, no wrath. All these, you see, are proper for kings of this world. Here there are only kindness, justice, salvation, mercy, and every good thing. In short, he dispenses the sweetness and the mercy of God." That's not what we deserve, is it? As you and I think about this king, and as we think about the king coming to you and to me, We marvel that He comes with salvation because you and I understand, I don't deserve to be saved. We don't deserve to have Him come rescue us. What we deserve is to be punished and destroyed. He comes in righteousness, which is the exact opposite of what you and I are. Just think about all the times that we have been unrighteous, that we have been trying to find things that are not in line with what God has to say to us. Our own selfishness, our own arrogance, our own desire to be our own leaders and rulers. We don't want a king. We don't want anybody telling us what to do. We don't even want God telling us what to do. We don't deserve His kindness and His righteousness and His salvation. What we do deserve is to be completely and totally defeated. Which is why the word we're using is so wonderful. Undefeated. Undefeated is what we are. Undefeated because of our Lord and because of our grace. Your King comes to you. You are undefeated. And He is a King unlike any other king. And so He comes with righteousness. Look at His life. Ever since His birth, when we gathered here to celebrate Christmas, we've gone through the Epiphany and now this Lenten season, we've watched an absolutely perfect life, your life. Righteousness that now is supplying perfection to God the Father and is credited to you and to me. We are undefeated because this is a King unlike any other king. He comes with salvation. Yes, we know what we deserve, but that's not what He gives to us. Instead, He comes and He rescues and He redeems and He saves. He takes that perfect life and He goes to that cross when we come back on Friday. And we rejoice in the payment that He gives to us. We rejoice in what He did to set you and me free. And all of that is because He is a King unlike any other king. He is a King who is willing to be defeated. Remember the second lesson? Though He was by nature God, He did not consider equality with God as a prize to be displayed. But He emptied Himself by taking the nature of a servant. When He was born in human likeness and His appearance was like that of any other man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You and I are undefeated because your King was willing to be defeated for a time to pay for sin and pay our death. Your King comes, a King unlike any other king. And as is fitting for this kind of a king, He has a kingdom unlike any other kingdom. Verse 10 says, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow will be taken away, and He will proclaim peace to the nations. His kingdom will extend from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. This is also a different kind of kingdom. Just as He doesn't carry with Him the trappings of normal kings as you and I are used to them, so also this kingdom looks a little bit different. All the regular tools used to expand the kingdom, all of those things are taken away. The chariot is removed. That was kind of the fearsome weapon of the day. That chariot was fast. It was powerful. That chariot could run over and run down all kinds of infantrymen. But now that chariot will be taken away. The horse, that well-trained and powerful engine of the army, if you will, that could also swiftly carry the chariot or carry the soldier. Again, overrunning the enemy. That horse is taken away. The battle bow, probably a key piece of military strategy. You get all those archers together and that allows you to reach the enemy before they get to you. You could have a line of archers that could take down the front line of the enemy before you ever get to the hand-to-hand combat. That is taken away. This kingdom doesn't need them. Can you imagine what national security would look like if we didn't have the ships and the planes and the tanks and the rifles? This isn't a normal kingdom. This is a different kind of kingdom, unlike any other kingdom. This kingdom is promoted, this kingdom grows, this kingdom expands because of the proclamation of peace, not force. It's not peaceful because there's some big bully hanging over our heads and we dare not rebel. He comes in love. He comes in grace. And in that proclamation of that grace, that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, that peace reminds you and me of His love and His grace and His mercy and tells you and me that we get to share in that peace. This kingdom is unlike any other kingdom because it has no boundaries. How can you have a kingdom without a boundary? How are you supposed to know who is in control of this area or this area or this area if there is no boundary that sets off those areas? You can't have kingdoms without a boundary. This kingdom doesn't need boundaries because our King comes. Your King comes to you. And unlike any other kingdom, His rule goes to the ends of the earth. There are no boundaries. There are no limits. And you get to be part of that kingdom. You get to rejoice that you are members of a kingdom unlike any other kingdom. How wonderful it is that you and I are part of a kingdom that is not limited by space. It's not even limited by time. God's kingdom expands to the point where you and I rejoice in the fact that we are not beyond our Savior's reach. We are not beyond His control and His boundaries. He comes to you and to me, a king unlike any other king, and He makes you part of a kingdom unlike any other kingdom. And He did that at your baptism. That's when He adopted you. That's when He claimed you. That's when He says, what you deserve, that went to the cross. What you are is Jesus' dear child, brother, sister. We rejoice to be part of that amazing kingdom. And not only are we part of the kingdom, but you're also part of the royal family. We just said it, right? Jesus is your brother, which means you are heirs of heaven. You will be inheriting everything that Jesus inherits, everything that He gives to you. You get to be part of the royal family in this kingdom. So hang in there. Even as we go into this most important week, and even as we worship our Lord and our God this Holy Week much differently than we had intended to, we still get to worship, we still get to rejoice, we still get to see that your King comes. Even though we are in very different times, we rejoice in the fact that we have a very different king. A king unlike any other king, who is still in control, even now. And we get to be part of a kingdom unlike any other kingdom that is not affected by all of this, but a kingdom that stands firm and sure. And you and I look forward to that day when we will get to go. Our King comes, but one day we will go. When He comes again, and we will go into the glories of heaven, and we will see our King for who He is, and we'll be part of that eternal kingdom that never ends. We look forward to that amazing day because we are indeed undefeated. Amen. And now that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We pray. Lord Jesus, You are the King of heaven and earth. We join the first Palm Sunday worshipers in praising and glorifying You for coming to this earth to be our Savior. Though You are one with God the Father and Lord of all, You humbled Yourself and became one with us. Thanks be to You for living a life of perfect conformity to God's holy law in our place. Praise be to You for being obedient to death, even death on a cross, to redeem us from sin. Cause our voices to blend with those who sang Your praises as You rode into Jerusalem. Move us to confess You before others as our Lord. Help us proclaim the message of peace and forgiveness to people of all nations. Use us to assure all people that Your blood has cleansed them from sin and set them free from slavery to sin, death, and the devil. Move us to dedicate all we are and have to your glory. Lord Jesus, you are King over all the earth. Bless the nations of this world with wise rulers and good government. Let peace prevail. Grant success to the businesses and industries of our land to serve for the common good. Cause all employers to be honest and fair-minded, and all employees to be diligent and faithful. Look with favor on our nation's schools, especially as we find new ways to educate. Be with those who teach and with those who learn. Comfort the sick and the afflicted with the assurance of your care and protection. Strengthen the faith of the dying. Lord Jesus, we ask that you continue to watch over those who have been called to service. Continue to watch over Miss Cheryl Henkel as she considers our call to be our preschool teacher and director at CSJ. We ask for your guidance and strength and blessing as she considers where she can serve. We also ask for your continued blessing on Mrs. Christy Utch, who has been called to teach grades 3 and 4. We also join her and her family and praise you for the gift of a son that she gave birth to a week ago Friday. We thank you for bringing Isaiah safely into this world. We thank you for being with mother and son. Watch over this family and be with them as they serve you. We also ask that you continue to watch over Pastor Don Freelitz and his family. This is his last week of service to Trinity in Union Grove, Wisconsin. We thank you for the blessings upon his ministry that you had given to him there. And now, according to your grace and your wisdom, we ask that you would bring that congregation their next pastor. Watch over Pastor and his family during this time of transition and bring them safely here to us at the end of the month. Dear Savior, as we walk with you this week toward Calvary, keep us focused on your purpose for coming into this world and on our calling to spread this wonderful message of salvation. Hear us for your mercy's sake, as we now pray all the things that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you his peace. Once again for joining us, God's blessings as you move into this holy week, as you rejoice in God's amazing grace. Just a couple of things. These are in your update. Some of this was also mentioned in the letter that you received earlier this week. Just a reminder that our communion plans that we had made for today, that was all made before the stay at home and also made before that this week and next week were supposed to be kind of the peak for the virus in our area. So there is going to be no Lord's Supper offered this afternoon. We will just hold off on that for a little while. We want you staying safe. We want you staying healthy. Cling to this amazing word, that same means of grace that gives you the strength and comfort of your coming King. Just a reminder of the door offering that was going to be last week to support the students that are studying for the pastoral ministry and the teaching ministry. We'll still collect that door offering, so to speak. If you'd like to take part in that, just simply label your offering, your envelope, MLC door offering, and we'll make sure that we continue to keep those students in our prayers. Holy Week devotions. Today is Palm Sunday. We'll be moving into Holy Week. Go back to our website. I will post a little devotion for each day of the week We'll focus on what was going on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday of Holy Week as we rejoice and we'll follow our Savior to that cross. Of course, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Easter, all of those services will be recorded and posted for you. We wish you God's blessings as you worship. And finally, as you've already been hearing, keep your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in mind. If you are aware of anybody who is perhaps alone, maybe somebody who doesn't have access to these services, we encourage you to reach out to them, help them in any way that you can. Let us know about it so that we can also serve those as well. God's blessings as you serve Him this week.